is Wednesday, December the 29th, 2021, 19 minutes past the hour, only 3 days left in 2021. Glenn Coble's back from North Carolina, where he spent the Christmas holiday, and here we go, Glenn. How was it?
Well, I'm
kind of annoyed with you already. You know, you came in and you have spilt your coffee all over the Christmas decorations. You must really not want the Christmas decorations out anymore.
I hate this.
That's right. You're ready for the new year.
I love my family, but I'm not a big fan of spending 4 days with four kids and four adults in a two-bedroom house. It's a little close. But you know what? What was really neat out in North Carolina is that it was 71 degrees on two of the days. So we were able to, we went out in the front yard and sat there and watched the thousands of dogs in their neighborhood bark at each other.
Now, you don't have any grandkids in this area, right?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
In Worthington, I have three.
Now, do they come visit often?
Probably once every other month, yeah.
So what kind of grandfather do you see yourself?
I'm probably the best grandfather ever devised.
Really?
Absolutely.
My goodness. Better than your own.
My grandfather was a pain in the...
Well, you didn't care for Grandpa.
Oh, I loved him. But you had to wear a coat and tie if you ate dinner at their house. It was just mandatory. He was very well-to-do.
A coat and tie?
Yeah. He was extremely right-wing. Back then, I didn't care.
What did this guy do?
He was a doctor, and he was also the very first... Not, I was going to say mortician. That's wrong. The person that judges whether you're dead or alive.
Coroner.
Yes, he was the first coroner of Marion County, Indiana, which is Indianapolis. And so he was pretty well off. All that money, by the way, drifted away when my grandmother had a stroke and she had to be put in a home for, 10 years. And all that money was gone. But I got a check for $500 from my grandmother's estate.
Now, was this grandmother, your blood grandmother?
Yes, it was my father's mother, yeah.
All right, go ahead, caller.
Hey, Shaw.
Hey, Chip, how's it going?
Hey, Chip.
Good.
Didn't hear from you. How was Christmas?
Good.
Good. So you getting ready for the new year?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear.
When I was over there, Chip, I saw you, and I was going to introduce myself to you, but you were too busy working. Sorry, I missed saying hi.
You been working hard, Chip?
Yeah.
How you feeling?
Good.
Me
sister, Oxbaker, Christmas star.
You heard some of the Oxbaker?
Yeah.
I'm glad to hear that. Did you listen to the station over Christmas?
Yes.
Good. Are things still busy at work with the new year coming?
Yes.
Do you have any New Year's resolutions, Chip? Anything you're going to do in the new year?
No.
Your 41st year, right, Chip?
Yeah.
My goodness. Time flies right by, doesn't it?
Yes.
How's the new apartment?
Good.
Did you just wake up, Chip?
Yeah.
You don't seem very talkative today. Well, I'm glad you called in, and we all know to come visit you at Kroger South, Chip. I know you keep it running out there.
You see Santa last Christmas?
Oh, I certainly did. A matter of fact, Santa left one of his gloves on my bed.
Oh, no.
He did. I know. I sent it back. I called him up, and I said, hey, you left your glove here. And he said, oh, no. And he got it, so everything's okay.
Yeah. Did Santa call in so next year?
Hopefully. He's been very busy. Santa's been very, very busy. So hopefully next year we will have the Santa call-in show back.
Okay, yeah.
All right. Well, Happy New Year, Chip, and we'll talk to you in 2022.
Okay, Happy New Year.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, one of my favorite people.
I was shocked. I had never met Chip, and I was out there getting some medicine or something, and... I I heard this voice, and I knew immediately that it was Chip, and I saw him, and he surprised me the way you think of him as a younger guy, but he is 41. And
41.
And he looks 41, so.
Yeah, well, time goes by.
Yeah, it does.
Time goes by. So it's good to hear from Chip, and anybody else can call in, by the way. We were having an interesting discussion last hour about why did White Castle not succeed here in Marion? People wanted it for a long, long time, and then Popeyes moved into that building, and that blew through here quicker, I think, than any business I've ever seen, certainly on Route 95. Why did these things happen? Or, as we head into 2022, what would you like to see in Marion? Now, people always talk about restaurants, but are there other things that you would like to see done in Marion in 2022? Are there still box stores? Are there grocery stores? Are there things you would like to see happen in Marion, changes in 2022 that would make life better for everybody? 740-383-9944. Don't be afraid to get in. Any ideas on all this, Glenn?
Yeah. First of all, the White Castle, I absolutely love White Castles. My wife absolutely hates them.
So, I never was a fan.
Well, I would have gone there quite often had they stayed. But I think the corporate just said, well, we're not making enough money here. Let's just close it down and sell it to somebody else that will lose their shirt.
And Popeyes did.
Yeah. And a business I'd like to see downtown, and we have tidbits of this business, but I'd love to see a large, and I mean large, kind of warehouse large type farmer's market / craft building. It's something I've always dreamed about. We have a farmer's market on Thursday, which is nice to have, but it's basically a few crafts and a very few farmers. I'd like to see it. We had a farmer's market when I was young that attracted thousands of people on the weekends in South Bend, Indiana. And I think, I don't know, maybe it's just my age. Maybe nowadays isn't the time to have it, but there is an awful lot of interest in eating healthy. And if you can go to a farmer's market and pick up a ear of corn and a tomato that was just picked that morning, you'd be surprised how much better they taste.
Well, you know, I think about these thrift malls that have become very, very, very popular. You go into these cities and they're almost as busy as Walmart and Meijer now, because I think people like antiquing.
Yep.
People like to find things and sell them on eBay and Amazon and all these things. So I always thought that would work.
Well, we have one, but it's out on 23. I can't remember what the name of the place is, but it's out.
What was the flea market for years? Lynn Hampshire.
Yeah. And it's still open, I believe.
I just think it's in a bad location.
Oh, it's a terrible location. Yeah.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to drive out there. Yeah. Well, people do drive out there, but you're not going to get enough business to really attract a lot of other businesses. And the farmer's market idea also has a problem with, if you're going to just hold it on a side road with a stand, you're not going to get a lot of business because people can't park on the side road. You need parking, and you need to be big enough to attract people.
Well, I always thought that if you were able to get a place also where people can set up and sell their own stuff, you know, that's very appealing. But a lot of times we do this outside. And in a place like Ohio, where it's cold 6 months of the year, that's not really practical.
Well, that's why I say it probably needs to be like a big, not a big box, but a big warehouse type thing. And I don't know where you'd put that in downtown. There are a lot of houses that could be torn down, and you could put something like that in. But it's going to take somebody, enterprising somebody, to kick in the money to do that.
Well, that's one of the problems with downtown, and somebody was mentioning this the other day, is that we seem to be very beholden to a lot of the buildings downtown that are not open anymore.
Yeah.
And they want to renovate them, and they want to, and that takes a lot of money.
Yeah.
And some of them probably just need to go by the wayside.
Yeah. Well, in Athens, there were people that were beholden, as you called it, to the middle school. And it was a former high school, which was changed into a middle school. It was a grand old building. So they decided they were going to renovate it. It cost about 0.1% less than if they had built a new one bigger.
Well, I think about the mall. Now the mall would be a good place for this.
Oh, that would be a great place for it, yeah.
But I don't know what the... I think that mall... I'm not speaking for them. I don't know anybody there. But it seems to me that the mall still considers themselves a retail place.
Well, when I was still in the business, the credit union business, they were talking... There were people talking about putting... like a not a nursing home, but a place like that where they could, in that big, huge building down on the south end of the big, huge section that used to be an anchor store of some sort, and putting that in there, which would bring traffic because those people would shop there, and their relatives who come to visit them would shop there. But that never got done, and there's... If I recall correctly, a couple years ago, there was a study that only one mall, indoor mall, had been built that entire year. So obviously, there's not a lot of interest in malls. I love malls. I'm showing my age, I guess.
No, malls were very popular for a long, long time. Yeah. But even the Mansfield Mall, the last time I was in it, and it's probably been a year now, is not really thriving anymore.
Well, and they let them fall apart. That doesn't help. If the parking lot's got holes big enough to take a Volkswagen into it, and they don't keep the air conditioning. I think you were in the mall.
Oh, yes.
Struggled with your AC.
And heat.
And heat. If they don't take care of that sort of thing, people aren't going to go there. They're just people aren't, retailers aren't going to go there, let alone people to buy.
You know, you think of the heyday of these places like the mall and downtown, and I understand why people want to go back to that, but I think the world has just changed.
Oh, yeah.
To a certain degree. You know, we didn't have online shopping then. We didn't have internet. We didn't have this sort of thing. So you really, you know, sometimes you just went to the mall to get out of the house.
Well, and another thing... online shopping's great. I mean, I guess, 25% of all the stuff bought at Christmas time was bought online, and that's fine. It's very convenient, but it certainly takes the fun out of Christmas, not to be able to go into a department store, not to be able to go into a mall, not to be able to see other people out in public, all bundled up with the snowflakes on their nose and stuff like that. That's part of Christmas to most of us older folks. Younger folks, it's different.
Well, I would also think just the idea of clothes fitting and things like that. I mean, if you get it wrong on the internet, you have to wait to send it back and get the next shipment and so on and so forth.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the retailers count on you not sending it back. They've already made their bucks on it. They don't want it back.
Yeah. Do you think it ever got to feel like Christmas this past Christmas?
Not really.
I don't think it ever did.
No.
I don't know what a lot of people blame the temperature, but I don't think it was.
The temperature was cold?
Yeah. Well, it had been,
Quite often, temperature is cold at Christmas time around here.
I think it ended up being about 50 here on
did it?
Yeah.
Was it that
so high? It was warmer, but to me, that had nothing to do with it. It just seemed, I felt that this last Christmas season, there was just something, not as many Christmas decorations up in public, not as many people seeming to be in the Christmas spirit, like we say. It was different.
Well, people were kind of burned out from the COVID thing, I'm sure. But, I took I took my sister-in-law and my wife around town to see all the lights this year, which we've done ever since my sister-in-law's moved to town. We've done it 3 or 4 times. And I kind of like that. This year it was kind of boring. There weren't that many out.
Well, I thought last year, though, the first year of the pandemic, when we had a lot of closures and we had a lot of big issues, I thought things were fine. And and it turned out the pandemic, as far as deaths, did not get as bad over Christmas. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
I think it, now diagnoses were far worse. I mean, I think we had more diagnoses on December 22nd than any other day.
You're talking about this Christmas, as opposed to last
year. The entire pandemic. December 22nd, I think, was the day of the most diagnoses. But luckily, it seems to be as if this new variant of COVID, however you pronounce it. Everybody pronounces it different. Omicron, whatever it is.
If you're a fraternity guy, you call it Omicron.
Omicron.
Because that's what they beat into you.
But apparently, if you are vaccinated, if you have the booster, and even in some people who don't, if you don't have any prevailing health problems, apparently it's like a cold. The symptoms are not nearly as severe.
There are still people dying from it.
Oh, absolutely.
So you should be careful. But yeah, that's good. And also the fact that we've been beating into people, get your shots, get your masks. I think that's really cut way back on. I think the government's done a nice job in doing that. Not as good as they could, but.
Well, I just think it's interesting to watch this because there's certainly no bigger story in the history of modern times that affected everybody than this story. But it if you actually, I guess, in your own microcosm, look at it, people are getting diagnosed like crazy. I mean, absolutely crazy. But the death toll, and people are still dying, there's no doubt about it, but the death toll is not what it was.
Well,
thank
got,
goodness.
We've got those pills now.
We've got pills.
Yeah. But, and that will, if you catch it soon enough, you can forego most of the bad stuff.
Well, and we also know about the vaccines. We also know about the boosters lessening the blow of it, which that's good. And we also know about just the fact, I am not saying there couldn't be another bad variant, but it does seem, you know, all viruses do eventually weaken out over time to some degree.
Is that true?
I think so.
Yeah. Well, definitely, I'd like to see it weaken to nothingness, but I think we'll probably deal with some variant of this, probably the rest of my life, maybe the rest of your life. It'll be more like flu eventually.
I've come to believe it's really not going to be the vaccine. It's really not going to be the booster. It's really not going to be the variant. What's going to be is much like every other illness we have in life. Can we cure it? Hmm? Because if we can cure it, just like pneumonia used to kill, and it still does, but pneumonia used to kill all kinds of people because they did not have a good way to treat it. And then modern medicine came in and they found better ways to treat pneumonia. Yeah. And then I remember when prednisone became available. And prednisone not only helped people who were having lung issues with pneumonia, but it helped people with bronchitis and it helped people with pulmonary fibrosis and all those things. And, you know, medicine does help. And I think eventually we're fairly new in this COVID thing, but somebody's going to come up with something that if you get to the hospital, we'll be able to treat you.
Well, I think that's kind of what these pills are doing, and I hope that's what they're doing. I remember when I was, as I've said on this show more times than I should, I was a polio pioneer. I was one of the very first kids in America to get the polio Salk vaccine, and there were lots of people getting polio when I was 5, 6, 7 years old. I had a friend that got polio. But I don't remember any polio after I was about 7 or 8. I mean, it just went away. And I'm hoping that's what we can do with this.
Well, the big problem right now is, and the ones I feel horrible for, are the people who get it and they're not vaccinated and they wait until they're too sick to go to the hospital.
Yeah.
Because there are ways to treat this early that can help.
Yeah, and if you have a question, contact your doctor or contact the hospital as soon as you... I mean, apparently flu is very similar to
another
Omicron variant. So if you feel like you got the flu, maybe you ought to check with somebody.
Well, flu's a big issue, too, because we're heading into flu season right now. And another big issue is, because people aren't wearing the masks, I think we are having more colds now than we've had in a couple years.
You think they were wearing masks a couple years ago?
No, I'm saying I think we're having more colds now than we were, well, let's just say last year, when we were all wearing the masks.
Yeah. Well,
because I have more people I have seen in public sneezing or, you know, things of that nature than I've seen in quite a while.
I go to a grocery store, and I will not mention their name, where there is one person. She puts all the food up and cleans the food, and they're required to wear a mask. But she wears her mask somewhere around her upper lip.
Oh, there you go.
And that just drives me nuts. Why doesn't her manager say, get it over your nose? Because really, COVID spreads more through the nose you know what I mean, than it does from coughing or your mouth.
Well, you know, I'm really trying to figure out, because now the CDC is changing the guidelines all the time. What is it now? I think now it's down to 5 days of quarantine.
Yeah, that was just lowered two days ago.
Yeah, 2 days. So, I mean, what is happening that's causing this?
I think these pills are letting them have a little insurance that, okay, we can cut it back a little bit because if, in fact, you do have COVID, we can do something about it. Whereas before, if you did have COVID...
Now, are the pills on the market?
I believe they are now.
See, I wasn't sure about
that. You have to get a prescription. It's not like you can go out and buy them.
So if I get diagnosed with COVID now and I call my doctor, there can be a prescription...
I believe so, yes.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Now, what's the pill supposed to do? I haven't read much on this.
It just takes, apparently, it just minimizes your symptoms.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, and it does it through, I don't know, I wish I could remember all that stuff, but I don't. But it minimizes your symptoms and makes you a lot less likely to die or have severe COVID.
Well, that's a plus.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's a plus. Well, see, there we go. Now
there are two companies that are making these now. So, and another one coming on fairly soon, I guess. So.
Now, did they all get FDA approval and all this?
Only one of them, I think. I may be wrong on that. If one of our callers knows better on that, give us a call because I haven't been following it that closely because I have all my shots and I wear a mask out in the public. So.
Well, and I wonder what that's going to do eventually. I wonder how long that's going to maintain itself with business.
Yeah, I don't know. I really don't. My son, who runs the vineyard out in California, they are very, very, very strict. Well, California is strict on it, but they have a tasting room, and you are not allowed to take your mask off unless you are tasting, and then you have to put it back on when you're done. So, it's kind of tough, they do it because the government tells them they should do it, but they aren't mandated to do it. He just believes that it's safer for all of his customers.
You know, I talked about this with Geraldo on Friday.
Oh, good.
Yeah, a little bit about...
I was so proud that you got him.
Well, wasn't that interesting?
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about that in a second. But the thing that Geraldo said, and I think it's fairly true, is that the difference here is that it's much like if you want to get a surgery or not. Now, that impacts you. So, yes, you have a choice there. That's your choice. You can get it or not get it.
Yep.
The doctor could say, you're not going to make it if you don't get it, but that's your choice.
Yeah.
The problem with this is...
it only affects you.
Right. That's the difference with this, and probably will be the difference in the courts when it finally goes how high it's going to go, is that the difference is that it your choice to not do something affects somebody else.
Yeah, and that's why I've always thought people that weren't wearing the masks... or weren't getting their shots, were just being flat-out selfish. As a matter of fact, initially, they were thinking that you were more likely to give it to somebody without a mask than to get it from somebody without a mask. Now I think it's 50-50.
Well, it's interesting to me because I don't know... Drunk driving, I don't think you could make that illegal if it didn't impact somebody else. I think it'd be your choice to put yourself in danger. I think the same thing goes with yelling fire in a crowded movie theater.
Right.
Why would that be illegal if it impacted somebody other than you?
Yeah.
So I think that's what this will eventually come down to is the impact your decision has on somebody else.
I think you're right. I think you hit it on the head, and I think... we've become such a selfish nation right now. Not all of us. There are a lot of us that are not selfish, but there are a huge percentage of selfish people in America right now.
You know what's interesting to me is a lot of people, because a lot of people have died from this.
Yes.
And
what is it, 700?
Something like that.
Something like that.
But do you ever really know where you get it? I mean, if you sit across from somebody who's sick as a dog, How do you really know they gave it to you?
Yeah.
I mean, you could have been somebody in the grocery store.
Yeah.
Could have been, I mean, what's the thing I heard over the holiday that if you're going to be in public, chances are you're going to get this virus. It's just going to be a matter of, are you vaccinated or are you boosted?
Right. Yeah. Now, I would venture to say that less than 10% of the people know exactly where they got that from. The only way you would know it exactly is if you lived, let's say, you like in my case, where I live with my wife. My wife does not go out. And if she got sick, she would know she got it from me. That's about the only way you'll know for sure.
Well, do you remember, and I don't want to say the name for several reasons, but in the beginning of this pandemic, long before we were wearing masks, you know, we always kept coming to the radio station, and somebody came in and was a guest on your show, and we learned 2 days later that they had COVID.
Yep.
So clearly they would have had it when they were on the show, had to have.
Yeah.
Because it takes a few days for it to start showing, and they got pretty ill. Now, I don't think they were ever hospitalized, but they were down for a couple weeks.
Well, and I, at that time, I was wearing my mask all the time. I'd wear it into their station. Now, I did take it off when I got in the station
because of the microphone, yeah.
Because of the microphone. So it kind of scared me a little bit because I know I didn't have my mask on when I was talking with that person.
But turns out, it didn't hit you.
No.
So, do you ever really know?
No. I think it's a very low percentage of people that get it from somebody else. But with this new Omicron variant, apparently it's far higher, you know, like 40% more.
Well, that's the thing. But thank
goodness.
But I
made that number up, by the way.
But thank goodness, it is not as, in most people, unless you have some kind of pre-existing condition, what they're seeing in hospitals, and that's, I always trust the doctors here, the symptoms are very mild, which is great.
And a lot of us, older people with long, very long teeth, we have underlying symptom stuff that we all should be aware of and be more careful. But some people think, oh, I'm feeling fine, so I'm okay. Oh, yeah, you've had a heart attack, and oh, yeah, you had pneumonia 2 years ago. No, you got to be really careful as you get older because you do have underlying stuff.
Well, it was interesting because we had Mary Ellen Withrow on yesterday.
She's 90, right?
Well, she's certainly not a child anymore, let's say that. And
she's beautiful, so we don't care.
Well, but I was asking her, you know, with the rates so high and so on and so forth, and she said, I think she said this on the air, that a lot of people at Primrose had gotten it, but because they had been vaccinated and because this variant doesn't seem to be as bad, that they're not very sick. You know, it's just, they're, you know, it's like a cold. They're not feeling well for a few days, and then it's okay.
The thing that concerns me about that is all the unvaccinated people now are going around saying, it's not going to be bad, but we
that's a problem.
To take care of this. And the medicine to take care of it may help you, but you may give it to somebody that's unvaccinated and they may die. And it may be your mom. So be careful.
Well, and you know, the funny thing is we don't know who is vaccinated and who is unvaccinated. So it's really tough.
Yeah, and they're not going to make you carry a card saying you're vaccinated or not ever, I don't think. Now, I do carry a card that says I was a polio pioneer, but that's because I'm proud of that.
Well, what do you make of the statement that was made right before the holiday that because so many people were going to get together and so on and so forth, and because of the highly contagious nature of this new variant, that if you're going to be in public, you're going to get it. It's just going to be, you know, when and where and are you vaccinated?
My wife is my bellwether to that, and she does not go out at all. But we did go out and have dinner with my family out in North Carolina, and there were people around us that she didn't have any idea. Now, my daughter's entire family had been vaccinated, but the youngest had just become old enough to get vaccinated, and so he had just gotten vaccinated a couple days before, so we don't really know whether he had it or not. But she was uncomfortable doing that and made me uncomfortable. And on the way back, as you know, I drove for 12 hours going down and 11 hours. It only took me 11 hours coming back, but you stop at all those rest stops and all those people around you. And I was very careful to stay away from people, and I only opened doors with my elbow. it was kind of a pain in the neck.
Very tough. Does anybody have anything to say about this? We got about 10 minutes left this hour. 740-383, doesn't it? 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. If you've got anything to say about anything we've been talking about, why did White Castle close? What would you like to see in Marion in 2022? What do you make of what's going on with the COVID and vaccinations and so on and so forth? Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I got something to say.
Go ahead.
She always has something
to
say.
Don't I always?
It's not Nate's show. You're not singing yet.
And I don't intend to. So, did you guys see all the news about that animal shelter in Michigan that over Christmas weekend had 836 care keeps delivered to it?
No, an animal shelter?
There was a man that was hoarding them, hoarding parakeets, and I guess they breed at a rapid pace or whatever, and he wasn't, like, equipped to deal with it, so rather than do the smart thing and just, like, get rid of some of them and just keep, like, one or two, keep them separated, well, he just let it go on and on, and his son finally had enough, and on Christmas weekend, his local animal shelter got 800, he took 800, and 36 parakeets.
Now, what are they going to do with all that?
Well, it was too overwhelming to the, but that particular animal shelter had to reach out to other animal shelters from, like, you know, states away, and they're going to send representatives with cages and take some of them.
They're not
That's
very
a lot
good.
Of parakeets, bro, 836.
They're not very good for Christmas or New Year's dinner either. They're pretty small.
No, I don't think that's good. Hey, what do you make of, did you get to hear Geraldo on Friday?
That was wonderful. I was going in and out of stores doing last minute shopping, so I didn't get to hear it in its entirety. I'll be sure to listen to the repeat.
Well, you were part of the reason why we got it.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you were.
It really surprised me, though, like how calm he was.
Well, you know, I've dealt with people here who are a little high strung, so.
Well, and you went on and on and on about what kind of loose cannon the guy was. Well, didn't you say crazy or a nutcase?
Oh, I think he is a little crazy, but I think I caught him on a good day. And see, 100 days the Geraldo Journal is now wrapped up, and how many people called in who said it ain't ever going to happen?
Right, never say never. Now, what are you going to do with that journal?
You know, I don't know. The journal's done now after 100 days, and we've got a copy of the interview,
well,
so...
I'll save it for a family feud gift or something.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a very interesting piece of history.
We're going to have it bound in leather.
That's right.
All right, well, don't go running off hoarding any parakeets, you guys.
No, thanks for calling. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. You know, the Historical Society has not contacted me yet for a copy of the Geraldo Journal.
Well, I'll talk to Fred when I have him on in a couple of weeks, and I bet we'll be able to, you know, they can put it in their basement, but...
You know, I really got the impression that people did not think it was going to happen.
I kind of didn't, yeah.
You know, people got very kind of down on it at one point, you know, when he wasn't answering phone calls and the station was returning emails and are not returning emails. There were a lot of things there that happened that really, I think, deterred people. And how many days did I come on here and say, did not hear from Geraldo?
Well, there was a time where I thought you were down a little bit about it.
No, you know, what I always thought was happening was, I guess what people... As I said earlier on this morning, and I won't go through the whole process again, but that whole thing was just an answer to many years of doing interviews, and the number one question always being, how do you get these people? So I wanted to do something in front of people so they could kind of see what that process is like. It had to be somebody who's well-known, because that's what they're always talking about. It had to be somebody who I'd never interviewed. It had to be somebody who I had no contact with, and Geraldo fit the bill in all those categories.
And you were persevered and were a pain in the butt so much that he finally...
Well, that's what you do. That's how you do it. And, you know, the greatest thing to me was, I knew the interview was going to be fine, because I did not talk to him at all until 60 seconds before we went on the air just to say, this is Geraldo calling for Scott. I said, hold the line for a minute and we'll be on the air. And I did the big intro about 100 days and the journal and legendary journalist. And after 100 days, the words you thought you'd never hear, Geraldo Rivera. And he comes on and he goes, Scott, I've been looking for you for 100 days. And it was, we laughed.
Very good.
Yeah, we laughed and I thought, ah, he gets it. He gets it. He gets that it wasn't a joke.
Yeah. Well, and it was kind of humorous. But not a joke.
It became a great thing to come in and do every morning because I always knew there'd be an end one way or another.
Yes, there was going to be an end.
There was going to be an end, and either way, it would have been an interesting end. But the fact that it came before the end of the year, the fact that it came before Christmas, and the fact that it came with nobody knowing it was going to happen, I really liked.
Well, you know what would be really nice is if some of our listeners who helped us get him on, quite frankly, by badgering the radio station, it would be nice if they would call and say, hey, thanks, tell Geraldo thanks for being on.
Yeah, you know what? If hey, there, that's a very good idea. If you want to call WTAM up in Cleveland and thank Geraldo for being on,
or thank the people that helped us. You know, the lady that answers the phone, she had to put up with several of
or
us.
The emails. Yeah. You know, all these things. It was very, very. You know, and I was telling the story this morning, and I don't want to get too deep into this, but you know, you never know what these people are receiving.
Right.
And when I got acquainted with Geraldo's wife. To the point where we could set up the interview. Not only did she say that he was aware of what we were doing because of the calls to the station and all that, but I guess some people, and I don't know who, I really don't know the answer to this, but some people were calling and saying negative things.
Oh, that's not good.
They were saying, don't go on that show. That really? Guy's terrible. That
I think
guy's.
I know one or two people that might do that.
but you're right. They didn't give me any names. Yeah. So I really, that's the honest, I don't know who did it. But that actually, I guess, worked in my favor. Because they took those calls just as a call. Just like, well, you know, these people are so inspired to call and get him on the show. These people are so inspired that they would call not to get him on the show that she thought that that was enterprising.
Yeah, and good. It was good to have both sides of that because now he thinks it's not just somebody being a pain in the neck. Everybody either does or doesn't want to hear about it.
Well, basically how it was laid out to me, and I don't have the exact words that she said, but basically she said that Geraldo has had people who love him and people who hate him. So he understands that, and he says when you have both of those and people who go to such length to either help or try to hurt you, well, people must be listening to you.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, hey.
And I'm one of those people that loves him and hates him.
Yeah. Well, you know what? He's very opinionated and doesn't apologize for it.
Well, and I don't appreciate many of his opinions, but I've always liked him for being out there.
Well, it's interesting to me. Some of the things he said in that interview surprised me, that he has not talked to Hannity since they had the falling out.
Oh, really?
Earlier last month on the whole, or this month. I guess we're still in December.
Yeah.
Earlier this month on the January 6th memos where he went on his show and kind of, I don't think Hannity knew he was going to bring that up, and he did, and it caused a little bit of a fight on the show. They haven't talked since then, or as of last Friday, they had not talked. And he also said he has not talked to the president, and he said he used to talk to former President Trump. He said he used to talk to President Trump about once a week, but ever since he came down on him for the January 6th riots, that they don't talk anymore.
Oh, wow.
And he did say, he said he would never support him again. He said, he's my friend. He came to my weddings. I've known him since 1970, whatever, but I will never vote for him again. After that January 6th thing. That apparently was the breaker for Geraldo.
Well, that says a lot because he definitely was a supporter of him and that he won't talk to him again. Won't support him again. That says that Geraldo is convinced that the president had some negative impact.
I think what, and I don't want to put words in Geraldo's mouth, but I think the biggest thing that led to that January 6th thing was the questioning the legitimacy of the election, and I think that really bothered him.
Yeah.
That anybody would do that.
That really bothers me, and, you know, of course, I'm a liberal, so I'm going to be bothered by it, but I have a lot of Republican friends that are bothered, and they will not say that it was an illegitimate vote, and I'm proud of those friends of mine.
You know, not that I'm the smartest person in the world, but we were on during Trump's entire presidency,
yeah.
And I kept saying to people, you know, anytime he would do something, and we talked about a lot of them, and I just want to spend this two-minute period talking about this, but anytime he would do something, like question crowd size at inauguration, or would get in a fight with a reporter, or would tweet something nasty, and everybody would get so out, he's despicable. I said, you know, we're making, if everything's despicable, nothing's despicable. And I think with Geraldo, he could tolerate everything he did as a president. But I think the January 6th thing was so unbelievable.
Went too far.
Yeah, and I think that was really the misstep that a lot of Democrats and Republicans who did not like Trump made, was they questioned everything he did because they didn't like him as being despicable. Then when the real unthinkable happened, that the Capitol would be stormed and people would destroy things and they would actually try to stop a vote, that, you know, it was, for a lot of people, that was really a turning point.
Well, and it led up to all the lies that we had been told. And I think that's what bothered me about my Republican friends, is they were believing all those lies. Many of them have changed their mind recently. They're saying, well, and that's one of the things that Dr. Feynman and I are going to talk about, is Trump's influence dying a little bit?
We shall find out. Be back in 15 minutes.
The Talking Place. For Jim Lavelle, the man handcuffed to Lee Harvey Oswald when he was assassinated.
So when you're coming out the door with Lee Harvey Oswald handcuffed to you, you're there to protect him. Take me through that walk. What do you see